It is good to be back with all of you. It's good to have had a wonderful trip to Dumas, Texas, to be afforded an opportunity to preach the gospel. In a half-week gospel meeting, I spent time with the brethren in Dumas and learned a lot about them and found a faithful group of Christians who demonstrated great love towards one another and certainly towards me while I had time to be with them. But it is an honor and a privilege to be back with you. I always count it as a dear blessing to have the good measure of health and an opportunity granted, and your permission, of course, to speak to you from the Word of God. There were several men who stood in my place while I was gone to cover the duties that I'm responsible for, and I'd like to publicly offer my sincere thanks to them for the work that they did. And I know that every soul here benefited from their work, their dedication to the Word of God. And so thank you very much for all that was done and said, and your well wishes on my behalf, prayers that were lifted up to God as I was away. I'm thankful to have returned safely and to be back with all of you. This morning our sermon is going to be strong and do not fear. While I was in Dumas, I had another blessed opportunity to spend some time with Dr. David Bonner, who is a member of the Lord's Church. And he had visited with me to some length about this idea of being strong, being bold, being courageous, and that we should not fear as Christians. He actually has a lesson that's online where he presented this very message. Mine is not identical to him, but he does deserve credit because he laid this on my heart, and I have had time to think about it and consider it. And so I want to present what the Bible teaches to all of you about this very concept. Be strong and do not fear. And we'll read from Psalm 27, but I want to say before we start reading that the Bible gives us a very stark contrast between those who are strong, brave, bold, and fearless. There's a great contrast between that group and those who are fearful, who walk about this life afraid, and who are cowardly. The Bible refers often to these who are not bold, that are not strong, as the cowardly. And we often don't think about being afraid as cowardly, but the Bible certainly lays that out for us. And as we have time, we'll read those verses together. But Psalm 27, let's read it together and be thinking about being brave, being strong, and not being cowardly, not shrinking back. Psalm 27 in verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." You may notice that the writer of the psalm here has great confidence in God. He speaks of not being afraid or saying, "Whom shall I fear?" But he also understands why he should not be afraid. It is because all of his strength and his courage comes from God Himself. And there is a confidence and a faith in God that brings us to the point of saying, "I have nothing to be afraid of. Nothing. There's not any person or anything in this life that should shake me or concern me about my destination, which is ultimately an eternal life with God, to be with Him forever and ever." And notice that he says the one thing in verse 4, "that I have desired of the Lord." What would you ask of God? "That will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all of the days of my life." Look down at verse 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." So he does cry out to God. "Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" God speaks to the psalmist and says, "Seek my face." The psalmist understands what the request is from God, the commandment from God, and he says, "Dear Lord God in heaven, your face I will seek." There is a determination within to seek the face of the Lord. You may think, well, this is the Old Testament. I want to share a New Testament verse with you. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. We are told to seek those things which are in heaven. Christ sitting at the right hand of Almighty God. Not to be focused on earthly things and consumed by them, but to be focused on God and His Almighty Son. Psalm 27, look down at verse 10 with me. The psalmist says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Just take note of what the psalmist says to us about his faith and his confidence in God. He says in verse 10, when my father and my mother forsake me. When all that you have grown to know, to trust, and to believe in would always be there, when they turn their back on you, what is a person to do? Well, the psalmist says, then the Lord will take care of me. That is, these are not words on paper. This is a deep confidence and trust in God that if all turn, if all forsake, God will be with me because I love Him and because I serve Him with all my heart. Verse 13, this man's troubled. The psalmist is troubled. He says in verse 13, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. Who lives their life that way? Knowing when situations come up that I would have lost heart. I was ready to throw in the towel. I was ready to give up. There was no more strength within me. But there was this one thing that I was still clinging to with all my heart, that I would see the goodness of the Lord. That is not something that's set before us in the moment. We understand some things about God, but it's a hope of something else that's out there that we have not yet come to. Yet we know it's there. God's promised it to us, and there is a hope that lies within us. Don't you understand by reading the psalmist here, this believer understands that there is a hope that's been promised that God has guaranteed, and it will guide his life. Even if, he doesn't say if, he says when. Even when his father and his mother turn their back on their son. He says, I will be of good courage. I will have confidence and strength in the Lord. We are told in Scripture over and over to be strong. Be strong. All of our strength and all of our confidence and boldness must come from the Lord. We saw that from the psalmist in Psalm chapter 27. But if you would, turn to Ephesians. We'll go to the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 6. I hope that as we go through this, don't just take note of the verses that I have to offer to you, but thinking about your understanding of God's Word and the things that He said to you, things that ring true to your heart. Where has He told you to be strong? Well, I have Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I want us to see that being strong is not something that comes from within. It's not the resources that we have available to us that make us strong. All of our strength, confidence, and boldness must come from the Lord. Be strong. How? In the Lord and in the power of His might. There takes great faith and confidence to trust in that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 with me. We'll see again here that the Apostle Paul will be speaking to Timothy, and he wants him to be strong. We're going to see this over and over again. Paul tells Timothy, be strong. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. This teaching, this instruction is going to require strength, Timothy. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Paul tells Timothy, you personally will have to endure hardships as a good soldier, a faithful servant of Jesus Christ. That's who you are. That's what you should be doing. You will endure, so be strong. Paul does not say, last time I saw you, Timothy, you were physically in great shape. And you're doing great with your weight workout, and you're strong, and you can probably take on any guy in your city. None of that's brought up. He says, you be strong, how? In the grace. that's weird to me to think about that you're going to be strong, you're going to be tough, you're going to be solid as a rock. Do that in grace, in that which God has given to you freely. That your strength comes from there, it flows constantly from there, and it provides strength and assuredness to each one of us who believe in the Lord. He's speaking to this young man, be strong. John would say something very similar in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 14. He says, I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. John says, I write to you young men because you are strong. How? In the word of God. You have overcome the wicked one. Satan? Really? These young men? Yes. How? In the word of God. In the grace of God, these young men understood that they had been given strength and power from Almighty God to do what was right, to stand up against those who would speak blasphemy against God, and to stand up, to be called upon, to be a soldier, not someone who would cower or shrink back, but someone who has put on the armor of God and who will do all that is pleasing to God because they have faith and they have confidence in the message of God. Let's look at one more. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 with me. Again, the Apostle Paul. And I think this is fitting to read what Paul had to say about being strong. We're looking through the book of Acts in our auditorium class, and we are constantly watching Paul being strong in the Lord, being beaten and stoned and shipwrecked, but remaining strong in the Lord. Watch what he says to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Again, there's a beautiful picture of the saint or of the Christian, someone who is strong, who is watching, who is militant in some ways, and yet every step they take is in love. It's out of love for the brethren. It's out of love for the lost. It's out of love for myself and my family, that the things that I say and the things that I do are driven by love, and yet I'm told to watch, to be on alert, to be on my toes, to be paying attention, to grab onto those things which are true and pure and holy and right, and to deny and to abhor everything that is evil and contrary to the will of God. We have a challenge in front of us that is very hard to bear. How are we going to do it? Well, if you've been listening, you will know that we will do it in the grace of Jesus Christ our Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not yours. Let everything that you do be done with love. Are you showing love in your life every day? First John chapter 3 and verse 14 says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. We know that we have passed from death to life. We know this. How? Because of our love for the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. You're already dead. We have got to understand that we must move and operate in love. Do not fear. Be strong. But every step you take must be with an abounding, overwhelming love. In the grace of God, knowing who Jesus is, knowing the love that He's shown. This is not something we muster up on our own and say, well, I have one good example in my life, so I'm going to try to be like them. No, don't do that. Look to Jesus Christ on the cross that He gave His life and never turned from that which he had come to the earth to do, to save your soul because of the love of God and because He knew it was necessary. We have to move with that effort. Be strong and do not fear. I hope that each one of us, we're gaining in our courage as we look at these verses, that we've been called to be strong and that we should not fear. Look with me, if you will, at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Second Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We know we should be strong in the grace of God. We're also told not to fear. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, His prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Do not fear. We have moments in our lives where you are going to be afraid of something. You are going to be petrified. You are going to want to cower. You will shrink back. You want to find a place to hide. For many different reasons, you will be fearful in your life. Don't ever forget that before time began, God had already determined to save you. We know that because His Son was lifted up on a cross, because those steps were taken on our behalf. This was decided before time began. That should make us feel so small. That before I was born and before I could even think about the Lord and decide whether or not I was going to believe Him or not, He had already determined in His heart to give me everything and to guarantee me that eternal life was waiting for me. Do not be fearful. God does not implant in us a spirit of fear. He wants us to know that before time began, He gave us everything. We should be bold. We should stand up and be strong. We should have courage to speak out those things which are true and those things which are right, because people need to hear it. I feel like as I present lessons such as these, that I said, you know what, Danny, you said that before. You already told them that. And you know what the problem is that I am not stepping up to the plate in my own heart and my own mind. And so many times when I present a point, something from the gospel that's speaking to my heart and my life, that I say it to you because I know I can do better and I want to do better. I want to serve you in a way that's more powerful. I want to be strong. I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid of things and people and things that get in our way and slow us down from our service. I'm tired of it. I hope you benefit from the things I have to say. But the challenge is for me. I have to have love in my heart. I have to do what God's called me to do. And I need to know that He loves me and I mean something to Him. And He's made an investment in my heart and my life. And I need to repay Him. I need to give Him everything, because He's already done it for me. We don't want to shrink back. Look at Hebrews chapter 11 with me. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, there is a chapter given to us, the great hall of fame, the great hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, we are not to fear. We are to look at examples of those who love the Lord and watch how they behaved. Hebrews 11 and verse 23 says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. This was important. The Bible records this for us. They were not afraid. They saved their child, their young son, Moses. They were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing. See, there it is again. Not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He longed for the promise of God that God had assured him of. He decided to face the reproach and the punishment of not being in the life of the king's son, but to serve God and ultimately to serve Christ, we are told in Hebrews chapter 11. Psalm chapter 23 is a passage we cannot forget as we are studying together. Look at Psalm 23 with me. It may be a set of verses that you are very familiar with because you've experienced fear in your life, and it is a place we should turn and have courage to turn to. Psalm 23 and verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He provides. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful, beautiful set of verses for us to have courage and confidence in God. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He has provided for me to this very moment in time. He has never forsaken or abandoned me in His giving of His own Son, even to that point. I am at peace in my heart. I have faith. I have confidence. I am strong because of who He is, and for His name's sake, He is my God. He gives me hope. I know where I'm going. I have purpose in my life. It's the greatest thing a human being could ever come to understand. I know why I'm here, and I have purpose. Tied in with all of this, this being strong and trying not to fear, knowing whom we should have confidence is that we should have faith. The faith and the belief and the confidence in God that should come from our very hearts will determine our course and how well we do with being strong and fearing not those things which are evil. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35. Hebrews 10 and verse 35 says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, your boldness, your strength, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and he will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. You hear what God is saying? If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe in the saving of the soul. You must determine who you are in your life and what you believe. Once we have that faith and that confidence in God, we are told never to cast away the confidence that we have come to understand, that which we believe in, because we understand the great reward that awaits us for being faithful to a true, living, just God. We are not of those who cast away what once was confidence, to shrink back to perdition, to say, I don't know, I don't think it's real. You believed. What's wrong? What's troubling you? Deal with it. Jesus Christ is coming. Search it out. Your time is limited. Do not float through this life thinking that whatever comes, I'll just decide and those kind of... Get serious. Jesus Christ is coming. Do not cast away your confidence. Hold on to it with all of your might and with all of your power. We will be judged by the faith that we have in God, by the movements and the steps we take in this life because we believe. And when judgment day comes, we can say to Him with joyfulness in our heart, every step I took was because of what You promised and because of what You said. It was according to the light that You showed to me and that You gave me. I am Your child, and I took every step of my life as a dear child of God, and I imitated You. Everything You gave to me, I imitated that so that I might be found worthy in Your sight. If that's true, you're going to heaven. You will be with God for eternity because He said that it is so. Not because I'm preaching it or teaching it with my own opinions connected, but because of what He has said to you. Now think about walking by faith and speaking the truth. I think we cannot deny the example that's given to us in John the Baptist. If you look at Mark chapter 6 with me, remember John the Baptist was the prophet who was prophesied of. Isaiah prophesied of John the Baptist coming. John the Baptist served a great role in the work and the service of God. But if you look at Mark chapter 6 and verse 17, we looked at Moses and his parents not fearing the king. And we'll see an example that's similar to that in John the Baptist. Look at Mark 6 and verse 17. It says, "For Herod himself had sent and laid hold of John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. Because John had said to Herod, 'It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife.' Therefore, Herodias held it against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just and holy man, and he protected him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly." We know that Herodias hated John so much that eventually she will have her way. John the Baptist's head will be chopped off and delivered on a platter to the daughter of Herodias because of all the hatred she had toward him. Why did she hate John the Baptist? Because he said to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." That is one sentence. one sentence that he said that was as true as it's ever been. It is not the will of God. You are in sin, and so is Herodias. And one of you must have the courage to break out of this bond that is not according to the will of God. Now, that person has a choice, either to say, that is right, that is God's will, we need to get our lives straight, or to say, I know what we'll do, we'll kill you. The messenger of God was put to death because he did not cower. He did not let go of that which he committed his heart to. He knows who God is. He knows what his purpose was on this earth, and he did all that he could to tell people the truth according to the will of God. Let's look at 1 John chapter 4. We're going to begin to close this morning thinking about being strong, being brave, being bold, and not fearing. Look at 1 John with me. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 15. This is the message that you must hear and you must know if you're going to be with God forever in heaven. 1 John 4 and verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. And he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because he is, so are we in this world. Boldness in the day of judgment. There is no fear in love, but perfect love, the love of God, casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. To love God as he has loved us will ultimately cast out any fear of evil, because we can truly say, what can man do to me? Not in a way that would provoke man to strike us. We want to operate in love, but to have that confidence and that boldness even in the day of judgment. What a great, great message for us this morning. Let's finish with Revelation chapter 21. Brethren, beloved of God, be strong, do not fear. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 6. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Take note of those who are listed that will not go to heaven, but will be cast into the lake of fire. What's number one on that list? The cowardly. Some of your translations will say the fearful, those who are fearful. This is so important, the stark contrast that the Bible lays out for us in our service to God. Be strong, do not fear. The cowardly will be cast into the lake of fire which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. This group that is cowardly and fearful are mixed with the unbelievable, the unbelieving, the abominable. That means the disgusting, the wretched. We wouldn't normally think of those who are cowardly or fearful to be connected to a group of the disgusting, but God says that it's so. Do what you have to do. Jesus Christ is coming. You have a moment in time that when judgment comes upon every man, every soul that's ever lived on this earth, there are two options for you. One is Jesus Christ has come to take us home, which is where you need to be. And then I have squandered my life is the other group. I was told the truth. You're in this room. You were told the truth. Do not squander the precious gift of salvation that God gives freely to all men. Whoever thirsts, whosoever may come. Come forward right now if you need to do that while we stand and sing.